Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I am Gary YouTube, joined by also Gary YouTube, and we are here to do a bit of Gary YouTubing, which I'm led to believe is a verb, actually.
It's such a dirty verb where you do the basic bitch content all the YouTubers do. We're no better than them.
And we're going to have a really good time doing it as well, though. And to prove what a good time we're going to have, Sam, please hit that intro. What the hell was that noise?
It's God. Is ready for this tier list as we put the Raw roster from 2021 and into 2022 into a tier list based on how their 2021 has been. Are you ready for it, God?
Now, as with all of these tier lists, we are sorting them into five distinct categories, ranging from the best to lovely, 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 to all right, to just about bearable, and finally the bottom one, which is, of course, the bin.
Get in the bin.
Yes, absolutely. And just having a quick scan of the first couple of names here, there might be a bin candidate really soon. But I wouldn't suggest the first two who we're going to group together would belong in the bin. We'll see where they go. It's AJ Styles and Omos who we've grouped together because they had a very similar year. They didn't. Yeah. They were together for pretty much all of it. So AJ started off taking part in the Royal Rumble and the Elimination Chamber. Didn't win either, but did almost win the Chamber. He was last eliminated by Drew McIntyre. Then with Omos, he beat The New Day. They both beat The New Day for the Raw Tag Team titles at WrestleMania in a really fun match. Omos was really impressive.
It's big coming out there party, Jackie. Mm. He did the wrestling better than I think most people expected him to do, and just about as well as a man of that size with that amount of experience could possibly do on the grandest stage of them all.
Yeah, I reckon that's true. They were slightly absent for a bit for no real reason after that WrestleMania, but then they came back and started defending the belts against teams like the Viking Raiders and the team of Elias and Jackson Ryker.
Everybody's favourite.
Yes, but they beat them somehow. But they didn't beat RK-Bro, who took the titles from them at SummerSlam. Then AJ and Omos teamed with Bobby Lashley in a big six-man, losing to all three members of the New Day at Extreme Rules, and then lost a rematch with RK-Bro for the titles at Crown Jewel. But it wasn't all bad news, because Omos recently won the Survivor Series Battle Royal, although they are maybe breaking up soon.
Yes, no. Just to peel the curtain back, we're recording this very tier list on Thursday, December the 9th, 2021, so we don't know what yet has happened on next week's Raw, because this week's Raw, so Omos walked down the ramp not listening to Alan. But I think it's been the very definition of all right this year for AJ Styles, okay, and Omos, because they haven't fully quite gone balls deep in the direction that they're going. I'm thinking of the comedy japes, blind AJ Styles obviously being the highlight and the best work of AJ Styles' career. I'm thinking of it at the start of their run, when Omos would literally catch AJ Styles falling from the sky. They could have taken that a bit further. It feels like they could have gone in several directions, but they've just sort of meandered in the middle of many different things. So I reckon all right, me.
I'd agree with all right, but I'd say probably the top end of all right. They've been doing pretty well, and I think it's probably benefited Omos' career tremendously.
How could AJ Styles not benefit Omos? That's how you work, brother.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got a man who's benefited massively from the 24/7 division. It's Akira Tozawa. You've put him straight in the
Now, we'll listen to what you've got to say here, and then we'll move him up accordingly. Hmm. But I can't imagine that's going to happen.
I went on cagematch.net and discovered that this year Akira Tozawa had a total of 5 matches on both Raw and SmackDown this year, 2 of them being Battle Royals. So if they count, I don't know, he's had between 3 and 5 matches in the entirety of 2021. Spent most of the time, of course, messing about in the 24/7 division and lost that title to Bad Bunny in February. Then he had 2 matches with Reggie on TV, which lasted under 3 minutes combined, and also lost a match to Keith Lee in a matter of seconds. Keith Bearcat Lee, of course.
Keith Bearcat Lee.
We've not really found anything there to move him up from the bin.
No, we haven't. It's such a shame. Such a talented professional wrestler, such a charismatic guy. It's just such a shame to see him in that role. He's been in now for such a long time, because you think back to this time last year, he was getting pinned by Santa Claus.
Oh, yes, he was. Yes, he was indeed.
Santa Claus.
Let's move on to perhaps a bit more of a cheery topic now. The Street Profits, who began the year actually as SmackDown Tag Team Champions, but lost the belts to the Dirty Dogs. They then feuded with various members of the tag team division, including Alpha Academy, the Mysterios, and the Usos, but were unable to win those titles back. Then they lost to the Usos, who by this point were champions at Extreme Rules, and in a very entertaining street fight on SmackDown. Montez Ford then had a singles match with Roman Reigns in the main event of SmackDown, which was really impressive.
Yeah. He proved he could be a main eventer if he wanted to.
Oh, I'm sure he does want to.
If they let him.
Yeah, if they let him, yeah. But he was really, really good. Obviously, he didn't beat Roman, but it was a very impressive performance. They've now been drafted at Raw and are currently still, at the time of recording, in that RK-Bronament, having beaten AJ and Omos in the first round by count out, and that led to the possible dissension between AJ and Omos that we've just talked about. So Street Profits.
I don't think it's been top tier, but I certainly think it's been lovely, lovely, lovely. I can't think of what you've mentioned there. I can't think of like a proper juicy storyline. If that makes any sense, I can just imagine match after match after rematch, then move on to new food, rematch, stuff like that. But it's all been very nice to watch.
Yeah.
And there's been lots of matches, especially on the SmackDown run, where I thought this is like a house show match. That's not slandering the match. It's just saying it's a nice time to be had by all.
It's in a fun way. I'm never annoyed when their music hits. I can't be bothered for this Street Profits match.
We're ready to be entertained.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think lovely, lovely, lovely.
Lovely.
Next up, another tag team, Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz, but obviously he didn't turn up until WrestleMania. So Crews began the year feuding with the IC champion Big E on SmackDown, but wasn't able to take the belt from him on a lot of occasions.
A million occasions.
Including at Fastlane. But he did win the belt from him at WrestleMania in the Nigerian drum fight with the help of the debuting Commander Aziz. He would occasionally, Crews this is, defend the belt against the likes of Kevin Owens and in a continuation of his never-ending feud with Big E. Then lost it to Shinsuke Nakamura in September. He wasn't the most active champion, but compared to other IC champions in the modern era, he wasn't the worst either, I suppose. Wasn't the most ignored by creative. Both guys then disappeared from TV a little bit after this title loss, but then were drafted to Raw, and Apollo recently refused an open challenge US title shot against Damian Priest, but then wrestled him the next week and didn't win.
Which you should never have got, because you can't refuse open goals like that one.
No, you can't.
Sami Zayn swooped in there, though, and all credit to Sami Zayn.
Oh, yes.
This was the year where Apollo finally got his gimmick in WWE as the sort of Nigerian royalty, descendant from royalty and stuff like that. All the stuff that comes with that, the scarf, the spear, the accent. I was thinking this could be a thing that could take this man to heelish heights on SmackDown or Raw as we find ourselves at the end of the year. But it just hasn't happened, has it?
No, it really hasn't happened. And I think the... And through no fault of his own, they got sick of him.
Yeah.
The booking team. And again, he did everything he could. The big criticism of Apollo Crews was always, he's brilliant in the ring, but he's got no character at all. They gave him the character, he did well with it. They gave him the big henchman, and then they got sick of him. What can you do?
I don't know. It does just feel like going around in circles, but... The matches, especially with Big E, while it was repetitive because it was the two same men involved each and every week, it felt like, for a long time on SmackDown... Or at least, 8 weeks out of 10 or something like that. They were always good.
Yes.
And they always had hard-hitting things. I remember Big E dropping the stairs. No, sorry, Apollo dropping the stairs on Big E. And I remember suplexes on the apron in every match and stuff like that. So they never phoned it in, but it was just the repetitive nature of what we were seeing. How far does that weigh it down? And that's not even his fault, really, is it?
I can't decide between all right and bearable.
If we're putting AJ and Omos in all right, I would suggest it's maybe towards the bottom end of all right.
But it's still the
same tier. It's still sort of similar tier to AJ and Omos. We'll go for that one.
Austin Theory's next, the talk of the town at the minute. He began 2021 as part of The Way on NXT, primarily helping Johnny Gargano keep a hold of his North American Championship, and also being terrified, I've put here, by Dexter Lumis, because he got kidnapped by him at one point, in fact. He was absent for a while, but returned for Lumis's wedding, now is when The Way sort of turned face a little bit, and then was called up to Raw, and began attacking superstars and taking selfies with them. And then, of course, Survivor Series rolled around, and everything changed because he stole Vince McMahon's $1 million egg,
$100 million
egg, excuse me, to take a selfie with it, and has since been sort of taken under Vince's wing. And I've said here, although the direction of the storyline isn't quite clear at the moment, we don't know what's going
to
happen.
I mean, the direction it looks like it's taken is that Vince McMahon is trying to get inside Austin Theory's pants.
Yeah, he is.
Impress me with your brain. Yeah. I love The Way. I've got to say, I grew to love The Way and their backstage shenanigans and whatnot. I thought it was funny stuff.
They were
stuff. Kooky. Yeah, they were crazy.
Yeah, they were.
Cray. But since moving to Raw, the selfie stuff, he's literally a man with a phone who takes pictures. I guess it's quite a nice way to mock someone after you've beaten them down, taking a picture while they're going, oof, me ribs, and stuff like that. And the Vince McMahon stuff, so far, I get the rub that it's achieving. You know, he's on screen
just
with Vince McMahon,
being
with Vince McMahon. Obviously, Vince has got some sort of faith to fulfil that role, you would assume.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much it's benefiting him. I read somewhere that he's appealing to the teenage audience. I've got that the right way around. Yes, I have.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how far that's going to go when the teenage audience is watching this young whippersnapper just getting... What's the word I'm looking for here?
Degraded?
Degraded, yeah.
Humiliated?
Emasculated by an old man.
Being given the McMahon treatment.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So, bearable? All right? Can't go higher than that, surely.
Yeah, I think the strength of The Way stuff as a unit helps him a lot. And I think that he's making the most of what he's being given. I'm not sure where to put it, really. Maybe all right.
We'll go bottom of all right.
Okay.
We'll go below Apollo and all right.
Yeah. Okay.
More to come in 2022, you would assume.
Next up, try not to get too excited, Ross, but nothing's meaner than Tamina. I'm just checking that he didn't just whack her straight in.
Oh, no, I'm being objective here.
She spent much of the year teaming with Natalya and won the tag team scramble on night one of WrestleMania, but then, in a weird decision, lost the title match on night two to Nia and Shayna.
Remember that crowd there, Jack?
They were hot for Tamina.
The loudest pop of WrestleMania 37 went to the Tamina train and Natalya.
But the reason that I'm saying it was a weird booking decision is because they won the titles after WrestleMania anyway.
Yeah.
So why not just give it to them?
But they love doing that, don't they? Just not doing it when they should do it and then doing it a week after or something like that. It's very strange.
They defended those titles on both brands because it was the women's tag team. They could switch brands as they saw fit. It felt like we were seeing them and Nia and Shayna a lot this year. But then they lost them to Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. in September. Then Tamina was drafted to Raw, but Natalya stayed on SmackDown, which ended their team because there's not any tag teams anymore, especially in the women's division. And she hasn't really done much since. She's lost to Bianca Belair a couple of times, most recently.
Which has made Bianca look like a star. People think I'm being sort of ironic on a podcast when I say how much Tamina's flip-flopping, flying around for Bianca Belair, but no, I'm not. Tamina's a big lady, remember?
She was bumping like a boss, as OSW Review would say.
Like a boss.
Like a boss.
Like, in comparison to the rest of the roster, I mean, she's a, you know, bigger henchman and stuff like that. But definitely that WrestleMania Night 1 win has got to keep her out of the bin, at the very least. So I'm going to suggest just about bearable, because once again, for all the Tamina train members worldwide, it's been another frustrating year watching Tamina in WWE. It's not been quite as bad as 2020, where she was getting screwed left, right and centre. Remember the cage match?
I do.
Remember the stuff with Sasha Banks? Remember Karaoke? Where she was given 60 seconds and then cut off after about 20?
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Everyone else got more time than her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year will be her year. One of the women we're talking about next who took the tag team titles from her, Rhea Ripley, this is her brutality. She appeared in the Royal Rumble even though she hadn't yet been called up and had an impressive showing. I think she came second and Bianca Belair eliminated her last, but the story of the Rumble was them, like the two of them dominating. She debuted on Raw in March and challenged Asuka for the Raw Women's title at WrestleMania, replacing Charlotte Flair in that match, I believe, which she went on to win. Then she clung onto her title for a while during a feud with Charlotte, which was a bit of a weird heel versus heel feud, or at least Rhea was using some of Charlotte's trickery against her. She would get herself DQ'd, or she'd pin Asuka in a triple threat, and Charlotte wouldn't actually lose, but she would still lose. But eventually did lose to Charlotte at Money in the Bank. Charlotte still sort of has her number. Then she formed a tag team with Nikki A.S.H. and won the titles from Tamina and Natalya, as mentioned, but then a couple of months later lost them to Carmella and Queen Zelina. So the year started off on a high, but then sort of fizzled out towards the end of thing for Rhea Ripley.
And that's no fault of her own performance, really, because it's just the women's tag team division. They just don't care about the women's tag team belts whatsoever. Yeah. So whoever holds them, unless it's Bayley and Sasha, are destined to fail. That's what we've been told so far in the lineage of that title. But the first half of the year was good. She got that win at WrestleMania. That's a good thing after not getting the win at WrestleMania 36.
Yes.
She got the big entrance at WrestleMania. She had a feud with Charlotte Flair where I think she mostly had the upper hand.
Yeah, I remember. I remember one time she got the best of Charlotte and then kind of went,
brutality.
Yep, it's good.
But it's Rhea Ripley, remember, that we're speaking about here. Yeah. She's a star in the making. She's very different than anything we see in WWE today. Just because of who she is and what she can possibly do, is it all right? The top end of all right, I should say.
Yeah. I think so. I think the booking, they didn't pull the trigger on her quite enough for her to be in Lovely, Lovely, Lovely or the best. But I think top end of all right is probably just about right. Yeah.
There we go.
Big E is next. He's had an eventful year.
We've got to put him straight at the top, haven't we?
Well, go for it. I will read off what he's done.
He became the champion this year.
Well, he began the year as IC champion on SmackDown. I felt like Byron Saxton there, or like one of the play-by-play guys, getting you back on track. Well, he began the year, to your point, as IC champion on SmackDown, having recently beaten Apollo Crews, then beat him again at Fastlane, then lost to him, as we mentioned, in the Nigerian drum fight. Then he began a feud with Aleister Black, which was dropped because they just released him. So that was weird.
Yeah, Aleister confronted Big E in the SmackDown, and then that was it.
That was the last.
After so many weeks of promo packages for Aleister, I keep wanting to call him Malakai, but Aleister Black with the cartoons and whatnot, and the Dark Father, and all that sort of backstory for his character, and it was just pissed away.
It really was. But then he was put in the Money in the Bank ladder match instead and won it. Then the briefcase was stolen for a little bit by Corbin, but then Big E beat him to win it back on the SummerSlam pre-show. He cashed in, of course, on Bobby Lashley in September to win his first ever WWE Championship and was then drafted to Raw shortly afterwards. He beat Drew McIntyre at Crown Jewel, but he did lose to Roman Reigns in the Champion versus Champion match at Survivor Series.
Exciting match, though. He wasn't beaten down with aplomb, was he? But as we said earlier, the matches with Apollo Crews were fine. It was just the repetitive nature that sort of made you think, oh, I'm not seeing this again. Are we SmackDown? Even though it was good stuff. So that was maybe the low point. And then it's just sort of been going, way, ever since.
Yeah, he's had a career year.
The title run is a bit underwhelming.
A little bit.
A little bit underwhelming, how it's getting a bit foggy with so many people being involved and whatnot. So maybe that weighs it down a bit more as well. But let's not forget, Big E became WWE champion this year. So I reckon he's got to go in the best for
it. I think so too. I'd agree with that. Who's next? Queen Zelina is next. She returned to WWE because remember she'd been released. She returned in July, losing her return match to Liv Morgan on SmackDown.
It was such a weird start for her on the main roster, back on the main roster, I guess, because she just became like, she was getting jobber entrances straight away, I remember.
Yeah.
And then things picked up.
She ended the Money in the Bank ladder match but didn't win. Then she was drafted to Raw and competed in the Queen's Crown and won it, beating Toni Storm, Carmella and Doudrop to win the crown. Then she was Queen Zelina, of course, aligned with Carmella and won the women's tag titles from Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. And from just an absolute, as you said, jobber entrances and all that sort of stuff, from that position on the card, she's suddenly everywhere and winning stuff.
And she's got a lovely fake accent.
And she's got a lovely fake accent as well.
Sounds like Russell Brand to me. But how far does a win in the Queen's Crown tournament push you up this tier list?
Two all right, I'd say.
I'd say that as well.
Two all right from those.
Because it's not really, maybe it will be in five or ten years' time, one of the most prestigious things in the world wrestling entertainment, but it's certainly not now.
No.
From what we've seen from her character so far, they are literally just saying, you've won this thing, now you've got to dress like a queen and sort of speak like one too.
It's not doing it for me yet, but it's still a big accolade.
And at least she's doing something,
Yeah. Next up, it's Big Bob, Big Bobby Lashley, losing the US Championship to Riddle early on in the year. He began the year as US Champion, of course, in a triple threat match at the Elimination Chamber, but then he played a pivotal role on that same show, attacking Drew McIntyre later on that night to help The Miz cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase. But then he squashed The Miz, I think just 1 week later, to become WWE Champion. For the first time, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was his first WWE Championship.
Just ECW,
Championship.
Wasn't it, so far?
Yeah.
Impact.
Fair enough. So suddenly Bobby Lashley was WWE champion. I say suddenly. He'd been built up well, I think it's fair to say.
Over a long time as well. It's been a weird year because I think I enjoyed Bobby Lashley more in 2020 with the Hurt Business and their presentation and MVP's mic time and whatnot. But this year he's had more results than enjoyment.
Well, my next point was he kicked Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander out of the Hurt Business, which was a bad creative decision, then successfully defended the title against Drew, not just at WrestleMania, but at various pay-per-views, and also beat Kofi Kingston at Money in the Bank and Goldberg at SummerSlam as well. One of the better modern-day Goldberg matches, I'd say. He lost the title when Big E cashed in, as we've mentioned, and couldn't win it back despite several attempts. But he did reunite with Shelton and Cedric, so there we go. And he also... Oh, no, sorry. He lost the rematch to Goldberg. That was the good one.
Oh,
that
yes.
The first one was when he injured Goldberg's knee.
And Gage got involved.
His son. But he didn't know it was Gage.
He couldn't know it was Gage.
Just a figure jumped on his back.
He got attacked from the rear by a fully grown man.
So where do we put Bobby?
I reckon we got to go, because that's what I was saying. How much do we put results into enjoyment in this? Because I definitely enjoyed Bobby more last year.
Yeah, same.
But this year, and especially his WWE title run, he made that belt feel big time once again.
He did. It's one of the top two, obviously.
Yeah.
I can't decide which one.
Should we put him in the top?
Yeah, go on.
Looking at the Street Profits in Lovely, 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 yeah, I reckon Bobby's done more.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Let's put him in the top. That match with Goldberg, especially when, Goldberg throwing him off the stage, wowzers.
Yeah, and they kept him strong afterwards because he walked away.
Yeah.
The camera showed him doing that.
I wonder what he's doing now, because he came back on the last Raw we saw, just attacked folk in the commercial break.
He waited until the ad break, yeah.
Yeah.
And attacked three of them.
I assume he's going to be putting the day one main event, surely.
Make it a four way.
Yeah. You'll know that by now, we don't.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah.
A bit of dramatic irony there. The Hurt Business are next, fittingly. They began the year as Raw Tag Team Champions, but lost the belts to the New Day in March. They also lost to Drew McIntyre in a handicap match, meaning they will be barred from ringside at WrestleMania, which I believe was the storyline reason for Lashley casting them out of the group.
Yeah.
But they did stay together as a team for a while and had that poison chalice, a losing streak storyline, before breaking apart and feuding with each other for a little bit. It was a weird feud. Wins were exchanged.
Yeah.
It was 50-50. It didn't benefit either of them. They both fell down the card as a result and then reunited with Lashley out of nowhere. It was never mentioned, I don't think, why they became friends again. But they reunited with Lashley during his feud with the New Day.
I just remember, did Bobby cast them aside in favour for the Ladies as well?
Oh!
It was Ladies' man Bobby Lashley this year as well, wasn't it?
In the opening promo of every Raw.
With the lounge.
Yeah, with the ladies, yeah. He would.
But these two, it's got to be Bin, hasn't it?
Bin.
For who they are and what they've done, got to be Bin.
Yeah. I was thinking of 2020 when they were excellent.
Yeah, 2021 now. Oh. And especially now that they're back with Bobby Lashley, officially speaking. But you would think it was unofficially, by the way, they've sort of just been swept under the carpet. Bobby's dirty secret.
Yeah, they're not featured as much at all.
No.
I think the Bin is fully justified.
And they should be doing a lot better, because we know how good Shelton is. We know how good Cedric is. Cedric's got fangs now as well. That's got to be taken into account. There's a lovely character development there. He grew fangs, for goodness sake, this year.
That's a point for the Bin. Oh, that's disappointing, that.
Yeah.
That has disappointed me. Alpha Academy are next. They began the year as faces, but we kind of knew that Chad Gable wasn't fully a face. He was trying to taint Otis and turn him to the dark side, which he did when he ordered him to attack Rey Mysterio after a match, and Otis beat him down. Which I remember, I was like, oh, they've turned Otis heel. He's the most natural babyface. But I remember you and a few other people in the office saying, like, no, it worked. He was menacing.
Yeah,
he shaved his facial hair.
He's very, very versatile as our Otis as a performer. And I first saw him speaking like normally for the first time this week.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible to see him speaking normally. When he was a college student, he's just a normal fella.
Oh, I thought you meant in character.
No, right, no, okay, just a normal fella. Just a normal fella.
That is weird.
It's incredible.
I can't imagine what he sounded like.
What a wonderful man.
Yeah. They struggled in the SmackDown Tag Division, but did take part in the SmackDown Tag Team title match on the episode before WrestleMania. It was like a big four-way match. They didn't win the belts. Also a bit of a shame, because that was the SmackDown that had matches on that you think they didn't have room for at WrestleMania, which were probably
Battle Royal,
yeah. Then they were drafted to Raw and were most recently knocked out of the RK Bronament by the Mysterios. Riddle tried to interview Otis, and Otis wasn't having any of it and beat him down.
It's strange, yeah, because the SmackDown Tag Team ranks at the start of the year followed the same trajectory as, like, you know, Big E versus Apollo Crews and stuff, and that we saw the same matches and the same rotation of characters each and every week for the longest time. I know they might have been holding off until fans got back in the arena before giving us the good stuff. Has that proven to be true? I'm not too sure because it feels like the SmackDown tag division has been shifted over to Raw and we're still going with Alpha Academy versus Mysterios and Dirty Dogs and stuff like that. So I'm just going to say all right straight away.
Oh, I was going to say bearable, but you think all right?
The wrestling's been good. Chad Gable especially has been very impressive at the wrestling. Otis has fulfilled his role well. Vince McMahon said on the phone, was it on Raw?
Otis is a machine or something like that.
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Something like
all right,
that.
All right, then,
Should we go all right?
Yeah, go on then.
Towards the bottom, I'd say.
Damien Priest is next. You always mention these days because he's had a recent gimmick change that his name's in two halves.
Yeah, it's what it says on the tin.
Damien, the
Mr.
Devil.
Ron Seal.
Priest.
That's the catchphrase, isn't it, for Ron Seal? Exactly what it says on the tin.
Ah, I see. He appeared in the Royal Rumble back when he was just a nice man and debuted on Raw the following night, beating The Miz after being introduced to the ring by Bad Bunny. He would feud with Miz and Morrison up to WrestleMania, beating them alongside Bad Bunny, but I remember rumours or reports that he was injured in that match, or that he was injured in the build-up to that match, so that's part of why Bad Bunny had to do so much of the work.
Didn't notice that's how good Bad Bunny was.
Absolutely.
Say on, hey, campeon, Booker T.
That sounds, obviously that's all great and stuff. Everyone, wow, Damien Priest doing much better on the main roster than we expected, especially for an NXT call-up. Then he won that zombie match with
The
Miz at WrestleMania Backlash. You forget about that.
I forgot who was in the match with The Miz and I forgot it was Damien.
Damien Priest, but he won it at least. And The Miz and Morrison were eaten after that. Then he took time off to recover from his injuries but returned to feud with Sheamus, who he beat for the US title at SummerSlam. He successfully defended it against the likes of Drew McIntyre and Jeff Hardy and is now showing a darker side and got DQ'd on the Survivor Series pre-show because he was too annoyed at Rick Boogs and he hit him and Nakamura with a guitar. With Boogs' guitar.
Yeah, Boogs' guitar. Rest in peace. He's bucked the trend, hasn't he, Damien Priest, in terms of NXT people go to the main roster? Because it's been a sustained push for almost a year.
Yeah.
Almost a full year. He's been made to look very, very good on Raw and he's been very, very good as well.
I can't believe it.
No.
I can because he's tall. He's got the advantage of being tall. So, you know, that would help on the main roster in Vince's eyes. But in terms of just the sheer number of NXT call-ups that aren't treated like this,
because it was a big worry. Look at what Damien Priest was in NXT when he was just a sort of like the midnight shagger. You would go to these nightclubs and be in jacuzzis with ladies deep into the night and stuff like that, drinking champagne, and you think, there's a gimmick Vince McMahon won't understand. And to be fair to them, they've given him a different gimmick that Vince can understand because his name is Damien and his name is Priest. The light in the dark. What's he do with that hand like that? And then...
He didn't do that. No, he's not the archer. Yeah.
Not the archer anymore.
Lovely.
Maybe the US title reign flattered to deceive a little bit, but the matches with Sheamus were good. And now the stuff with the getting angry and the cowie face, pull your maddest cowie face, Damien Priest, that's good stuff as well.
I reckon.
Lovely.
And the fact that they paired him, they chose him to be in the celebrity match at Mania means they trust him and they've probably got big things for him, I suppose.
Go on then.
Nikki A.S.H. is next. We've already done her tag partner, Rhea Ripley. Nikki was in the Royal Rumble but didn't do much after that until May. Like, she wasn't featured that much at all. Where she won, I've put in inverted commas because she didn't really, but she won Beat the Clock challenges against Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. She survived them.
Yeah.
Which didn't help get her over.
No.
Then in the summer, out of nowhere, she debuted a new superhero gimmick, Nikki A.S.H., going on to win the Money in the Bank contract and successfully cash in on Charlotte Flair, but she lost the title at SummerSlam back to Charlotte in a triple threat. Then she formed Super Brutality with Rhea Ripley, won the titles from Natalya and Tamina, and lost them to Carmella and Zelina, as we've mentioned. So... oh, it's been eventful, but I don't know if it's been eventful in the best way.
The presentation of the gimmick is not doing it for me. And I guess it's, we're not the audience, are we, two grizzled old men?
So.
But the way it's just like, oh, you can be a superhero too, like me. It doesn't need to be laid on that thick where we see an actual superhero there in superhero attire and stuff like
that. No, like, I know that Mysterio wears colourful costumes and masks and that, but he's a luchador.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, I am a superhero. He just inspires the kids by saying, you're small, I'm small like you.
Do like me.
Do what I do.
Say like me, I am Ray.
We didn't need it to be, you're right, we didn't need to be as lit. But I get, you know, the gimmick was apparently
her idea
and stuff, so I get that.
But it's another thing of the women's tag team division that's not no fault of their own. They just obviously don't care. We've had that proven to us time and time again, so we can't really mark it down too hard for that. Before that, as you say, she was missing for a long time after being the Southern Sassy Belle.
Oh,
the Sassy Southern Belle with
that
the theme music, which just didn't fit her at all. I'm trying to think of the up part, like the highlights of the year.
Winning the title.
Winning the title. That was a thing.
She cashed in the title,
The way she got there left a bit to be desired, as you say, with the sort of just surviving the beat-the-clock challenges and sort of sweeping out the back door with the title, so to speak.
Oh, she won money.
The night after on Charlotte Flair, wasn't it?
It was the very night after. But if we're... We're taking Big E's title win as a big plus, and his was a cash-in. I think Nikki's has to be as well, but I'm not saying that she belongs in the best tier, though.
Keeps her out the bin, though, crucially.
Oh, it keeps her out the bin.
Bearable?
Yeah.
It hasn't been much, has it? It does feel harsh. But on top of bearable.
I think she's got to be on the same level as Zelina, though.
Well, go on then. We'll put on the same level
if Zelina's in there, I think Nikki can be in there as well.
Yeah. I would say that just the presentation of the game, it needs a bit of work, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. I'm not confident they'll do it, but we'll wait and see. Next up, oh, yes. It's the Dirty Dogs.
Now, remember, I've been objective with Tamina.
You like them as well.
I do like them. But what have they done this year, Jack?
The Dirty Dogs, for those who don't know, of course, how could you not, are Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. They won the SmackDown Tag Team titles from the Street Profits in January and held them until May, defending them in that big four-way pre-WrestleMania match on SmackDown the week of WrestleMania. Then they lost the titles to the Mysterios at WrestleMania Backlash and tumbled down the card after that, becoming heel filler. Then they were drafted to Raw, and they've had a couple of tag title shots against RK-Bro, but they've never come up successfully. So... And then they mugged Baron Corbin backstage.
They did mug Baron Corbin.
Yeah, took his money away.
And they had that picture with that fan in the crowd at the live event.
Yes, they did.
What happened after that? We've got no idea.
I think I enjoy them more for the extra stuff, not the stuff we're talking about here.
Even though the extra stuff hasn't really been much this year, has it?
No, not really.
It's got to be bearable, hasn't it?
Yeah.
They still have very good matches, but there's not a lot of reason to care about them, is there?
No.
I'm going to say, as I said on the podcast again, lean into more of the dirty side of the Dirty Dogs. The dog side of the Dirty Dogs.
Both sides.
The dirtiest of all the dogs.
More two dirty two dogs.
Give us more middle-aged, you know, going through a crisis, but they still think they're in the 20s sort of vibes.
Yes.
There's so much to do there. Do you not think?
I fully agree.
Yes, there is.
But again, I'm not like with Nikki A.S.H. I don't know if I'm confident. But we'll wait and see.
What match did Bobby Roode have recently where I thought, well, I said, like, oh, he could be a main eventer if he wanted to.
Oh,
who was it against? Was it against Big E?
I think the one with James Storm about 10 years ago. I think it might have been Big E.
They are still doing good wrestling. We just need more reason to care.
Mm. Dom's next, Big Dom, Dominic Mysterio, who ended his first ever Royal Rumble and spent most of the rest of the year teaming with his dad, winning the SmackDown tag titles from those Dirty Dogs at WrestleMania Backlash, but losing them to the Usos on the Money in the Bank kickoff show, not even on the main pay-per-view, and failing to win a rematch at SummerSlam. The reason for all these twists and turns, we thought, was an eventual breakup between father and son. But it's never quite materialised, and they've been drafted to Raw together, and they're in the tournament, the RK-Bronament, and they've not... That's it. They're not feuding yet.
This must lead to a discussion of how much we have to put faith in the Dirty Sheets, because, of course, these reports have come from the Dirty Sheets and nowhere else.
Yes.
I said the Dirty Dogs there.
Dirty Sheets and
nowhere else. So how much are we going to let those reports... That could be bollocks, let's just say it. How much are we going to let that cast our judgement here?
I think that... I don't really know. I think even that aside, it still felt quite stop-start, hasn't it?
Yeah.
They've been arguing, then they've made up, and then Ray goes like, I'm really proud of you. Then he doesn't want him at ringside. There needs to be more consistency.
And when the Usos took the titles off them, everyone just said, yes, it's time for the Mysterios to lose the titles, which is not a good thing.
No, it's been, but it is, you know, Dom's still relatively inexperienced, so yeah. It's not been like a catastrophe or anything.
For him, it's got to be at least all right.
Yeah, I think so.
He's still a young pup, isn't he? On the main roster.
Yeah. Hook would batter him.
Yeah, he would.
Liv Morgan. A recent rise to prominence for her, but before that, at the beginning of the year, she was still, and it feels longer ago than this, but she was still teaming with Ruby Riott, including an appearance in that scramble match at WrestleMania Night 1. The team ended when Ruby was released, of course, and then went to AEW, and then Liv had, well, it was like Big E and Apollo, but more, I think. She had a never-ending feud with Carmella for much.
And the wins went back and forth as well.
It didn't
help
anyone.
One week she would win. Next week, Carmella would win.
She was added to the Money in the Bank ladder match because she was annoyed that Carmella was in it. So she took Carmella's spot because Carmella had like a title match that week instead or something. But she failed to win that match. Then she lost to Carmella in the opening round of the Queen's Cup. So it wasn't just the meaningless matches that they went back and forth in. It was ones that meant something in storyline as well. Then she was drafted to Raw and like out of nowhere became the number one contender, winning a multi-woman match. I think a fatal five-way perhaps. Challenged Becky Lynch and lost to her in a very well-received main event of Raw, but she put up
Excuse
a good
me.
Effort, but Becky grabbed the ropes.
And she's had character put on her for the first time.
Yes.
She's a wrestling fan who grew up a wrestling fan, and now she's living the dream, fighting Becky Lynch for the title.
Yeah.
That's more than we had so far when it comes to Liv Morgan.
Maybe that is more of what Nikki A.S.H.'s presentation needs. And
she's just like you. You could do what she's doing. Yeah, it's not as on the nose, is it?
No, and I think it's worked. This last couple of weeks or month or so has really, like, it might have bumped up 2 tiers, Ross, from wherever we were going to put her before that.
To lovely.
Or were you going to put her in bearable?
Yeah, well, no. That was all right, maybe. Got to think the first 3 quarters of the year was a long time.
It was. I think now it's all right or lovely. Is it good enough for lovely?
We'll go. Rhea Ripley's in all right, so should we go similar?
Top of,
because I've sort of had similar things happen, but at different parts of the year. Like Rhea was up there in the spring and now lives up there in the winter.
Yeah.
Rhea's down there in the winter, Liv was down there in the spring.
That makes a lot of sense. They've had opposite trajectories.
Yes.
We've talked about Dom, now it's time to talk about his dad, Rey Mysterio. My first point here is just see Dom's section.
Yeah.
Their title reign, but I've added a detail, their title reign made them the first father-son tag champion duo in WWE history, which is nice. But then Rey had a short singles feud with Roman Reigns as revenge for Roman attacking Dominic, which culminated in a Hell in a Cell match, which was kind of the way the Hell in a Cell matches should be.
Yeah.
It wasn't in October. It wasn't just because Hell in a Cell was coming up. It was on SmackDown. I think it may have even been...
Opened the card, yeah.
Hell in a Cell match as well. I don't want to commit to that. Opened the show, did it?
I'm sure it did, didn't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Roman won, of course, but it was a good match. It was exciting when Rey came out all guns blazing with weapons and everything. Then he was drafted to roll with Dom, and that's where we find ourselves now.
Can't put them in the same bracket, haven't we?
I think one above.
One above?
For that feud with Roman.
Oh, yes, I'll go for that. Mm. Defending the honour of his son, because, of course, Dom got murdered, didn't he?
He got actually
murdered by Roman. We'll go for that, then. One tier above.
Tell you who's next.
Who?
I think you know him. It's Edge.
I see clearly now.
Yes. The reign has gone.
Aye.
He won the Royal Rumble at the start of the year from number one, which genuinely...
Wait there, this year?
Yeah, that was
no.
This year. Yeah, that was this year.
Hey, dear.
Because then he got into the main event of WrestleMania.
He did, didn't he?
He did, that was it.
And then Daniel Bryan made him look like a right whopper.
Yeah, so he chose to face Roman Reigns, but Daniel Bryan was also added to the feud and the match, making it a triple threat. And then Roman obviously pinned both at the same time and won. I found out an interesting stat as well. This makes Edge the first person to win 2 Royal Rumbles and lose both subsequent title matches at WrestleMania.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I think he lost to Jericho back in 2010.
Yeah?
Oh,
yeah, he did.
He then took some time away selling the effects of the defeat and then returned in June and set his sights on...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Roman again, but he lost their rematch at Money in the Bank after interference from Seth Rollins, which started a feud between them. They went back and forth. This was quite a long feud.
I like this feud.
He beat Rollins at SummerSlam, but he lost to him on SmackDown, but then he beat him in the Hell in a Cell match at Crown Jewel.
2-1.
Yeah, 2-1.
It's where Rollins was trying to take all of Edge's moves because Edge was like, oh, I see a lot of you and me.
Yeah.
And Rollins was like, now I'm better than you. But then he realised, nah, if I take what makes him good, I'll become good too. And he tried to do that, so I like that.
Edge went to that dark place.
Yeah.
The Brood.
Or he just says, he did. Wow.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
All these things that happened this year.
Yeah, yeah. Now, of course, he's on Raw. He took some time off again, which I can't blame him for. He's an older man.
Yeah.
Took some time off again. Now he's on Raw and is feuding with The Miz.
Feud you didn't ask for, but feud you want to see.
Yes, and part of that I think is down to Edge's promo ability to build the story, and the Miz's as well.
Yeah, because we've seen so far that the Miz is telling the truth, and you can see his point of view. Edge is saying some things, you can see his point of view, so it makes for a good thing. Whose side are we on?
Gray. Yes. Edge has had a good year. He's not done as much because he's not been around as much, but I think he's had a good year.
I would say, you know, it's few and far between because of reasons. We know what the reasons are. We can't hold that against Edge. He's doing the matches he's contracted for.
Yes.
And his body will allow him to do. So I would say, in terms of what he's done, it's been lovely, lovely, lovely. Mm. The build-up of Mania was interesting because he turned himself from one of the biggest baby faces in the country, and then Daniel... In the country?
In the country.
In the company.
Country.
I'm not awake today. In the company, and then Daniel Bryan usurped him in the babyface ranks, and Edge in that thing sort of turned heel.
Yeah, because it would have been a disaster if he tried to out babyface Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
you just can't. So he did the right thing and went.
He did do that. Yeah, as I said, the Rollins feud was great. Well, maybe not great, but very, very good indeed. Yeah. The Hell in a Cell match was good as well in Saudi Arabia. So yeah, lovely.
Lovely. He won the Rumble from number one.
I can't believe that was this year. It's been a long year, hasn't it?
I would say best, but I mean,
do you want to put him in best?
Maybe top of best. Maybe top of lovely.
Top of lovely.
Maybe top of lovely. Yeah.
Oh, we'll go best.
Oh!
I can see who's in lovely tier there. He's done a lot more than what those have in lovely tier.
Why not?
Go on.
Dewdrop is next. Just come crashing back down. No offence to her, of course. She's fantastic. I think she's been badly booked.
The original thing of that storyline made sense, with Eva Marie giving her protege, who she looked down on, the name Dewdrop.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
What didn't make sense was Dewdrop embracing the name
like
Dewdrop.
I want to be Dewdrop.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
You should be telling that name where to go, Piper.
My first note here is a curious one. I said she began the year in NXT UK losing a number one contenders match to Ginny. So that was this year. She debuted on Raw in June. It took that long. As Eva Marie's sidekick, of course, beating Naomi in a bit of a squash match in her debut, to be honest. But then Eva Marie, of course, announced herself as the winner and later on introduced her as Dewdrop, as we've mentioned. She stood up to her, to Eva Marie, that is, at SummerSlam, mocking Eva Marie after she lost a match. And then Dewdrop danced around with her robe on. And everyone started to think, oh, no.
And then they made her start to dress like Big Bertha with a skirt and the top and whatnot. And you're thinking, oh, God, what they're doing here? But then she turned grungy.
Well, before that, she twice beat Eva Marie, but then lost a title match to Charlotte Flair after a distraction from Eva Marie. Then Eva Marie was released. And I don't think we got a full resolution for that, mate.
Kind of got one, didn't we?
Yeah, a little bit. It wasn't like Big E and Aleister Black territory. She also got to the final of the Queen's Crown tournament, but lost Queen's Crown tournament, but lost to Zelina Vega. And yeah, I've put, has recently undergone a very sudden heel turn. Not really any justification for it, as far as
not really, no. Well, maybe she's disgruntled at getting beaten by the smaller lady, Saudi Arabia.
True.
Maybe a match that she would feel she shouldn't be losing. But there's been a lot of, believe it or not, I think there's been a lot of positives for Piper Niven here in 2021. Because when she arrived on the main roster, I'm sure she was slapping around everybody.
Yeah, she was squashing people, yeah.
Squashing everybody. And I forget, was Asuka still around then?
I'm not sure if Asuka was, but definitely that first match with Naomi, she beat her with ease.
There was a few more people as well, a few more established names, I should say. And that was good stuff. And then, obviously, the major weak point is her embracing the name Dewdrop, which they like to do. You know, you think back to Shorty G and people like that. It just doesn't make much sense. But I guess they paid for the trademark. Because remember that she changed a Twitter handle before the Eve Marie storyline. I think they changed the storyline because of the trademark. That's what I'm assuming there. So they made the best of a bad situation, but then made the bad of a bad situation after the best part.
Yes.
That makes sense. Where do we go?
Bearable, all right.
All right.
Go on then.
She's had a few dominating victories as well. Mm-hmm. And with Charlotte Flair, she was taken to a very competitive match, wasn't she?
Before she
walked away. And that's, you know, leaves a bit of a sour taste in the mouth. But at least she took Charlotte Flair to a competitive match.
Yeah, I'd say so as well. Finn Balor, this is another one where I was like, did that happen this year? He began the year as NXT champion.
No, he didn't.
He did. And defended it in a series of really well-received matches against Kyle O'Reilly, Pete Dunne, Adam Cole and Karrion Kross. He lost it to Karrion Kross, in fact, and then returned to the main roster after losing a rematch to Karrion Kross. He got a title match against Roman Reigns on SmackDown, only to be attacked by Corbin before he could sign the contract. And then Cena came out and signed it in big, silly letters. Signed it, like, weirdly. But I was about to say signed it in Mandarin because he knows how to speak Chinese. Yeah, okay.
It wasn't that.
It wasn't. It was in big, silly Comic Sans font. Just said John. No, it probably said Cena.
It said Cena, yeah.
I'd love it if it said John. But yeah, Finn Balor did eventually get his title shot, but then lost and then had a rematch with Roman as the Demon, which he lost. I didn't know how to describe it, so I just said he lost under weird circumstances.
Ring malfunction.
But it wasn't just that. It was the music playing and bringing his heart back to life. Oh, man.
Flopping like a fish on the floor.
Michael Cole or whoever was commentating was like, whoa, this is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
No. It wasn't for me. He reached the final of the King of the Ring tournament. Probably should have re-demoned up for an important match like that, but didn't and lost to Xavier Woods. He was then drafted to Raw and had a bit of a recent feud with Seth Rollins where they were like ambushing each other.
They had
stuff.
A couple of good matches as well. Yes, I remember one that opened a Raw recently where they were just battering each other.
Yes. Should have led somewhere and might still do, but I think Rollins is now too tangled up in the day one build.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see. Finn Balor's had a more eventful year than I would have thought on the surface.
And a more good year than I would have thought.
Yeah,
I was
thinking
the debut bit on SmackDown was very good. And then obviously the bit with Roman and the Demon and stuff, that's a major low point.
Mm.
But then he's sort of back up there again with the matches with Rollins, as you mentioned, the stuff on NXT as well.
He was a good NXT
That
champion.
Was good yeah, as well, yeah. So... How far does the demon being, you know, sort of usurped by a crappy workman who didn't put the top turnbuckle on properly?
Mm.
How did that... Oh, no, I've just remembered, by the way, in the match before, Sheamus was it Jeff Hardy?
Okay.
And he was doing the Jeff Hardy dance on that turnbuckle, so obviously got weakened because of Sheamus's
right, okay.
sheer girth and doing the old air hump.
You've solved it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff's okay, by the way.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Need to say that, don't we?
We do. But, yes, I think he's lovely, 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 Finn Balor. Well, I also think he belongs in...
Well, I was going to say, where do you want me to tear?
Yeah. What would you say?
Yeah, I'll go lovely, lovely,
yeah,
lovely.
He's been very good.
Demon stuff keeping them out the best.
Yes. He was almost on course for a best year. Kevin Owens next, who lost that entertaining but awkward ending match to Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. Last man standing, I believe. Or falls count anywhere.
Handcuff gate.
But he then beat Sami Zayn at WrestleMania and stunned Logan Paul afterwards.
Get in, Kevin!
But, you know, a fellow Gary YouTube, so I don't know how much we...
we don't like him, do
no,
we?
No, no, that's true.
Well, has he redeemed himself there, Jack?
I honestly don't know.
I see a lot of people saying he's redeemed himself.
I think they just find his brother more annoying, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
He continued, Kevin Owens, this is not either of the Pauls. Kevin Owens continued to feud with Sami Zayn, losing to him at Extreme Rules, but then beating him in a last man standing qualifier for Money in the Bank. Then he didn't win that match. Then he was drafted to Raw and is currently set for that title shot at Day One against Big E and Seth Rollins at the time of recording, but Lashley might also get involved. He's turned heel as well after that miscommunication with Big E, but I don't know how much you agree with this, but he's sort of a tweener when Rollins is around.
Yeah.
He's kind of in the middle of that feud.
Which sort of makes sense, with Rollins being the more defined heel.
Yeah, yeah.
But it makes you longing for 2015 Kevin Owens when he was the biggest heel in the NXT.
So Kevin Owens is probably less defined.
Sam
Driver.
Not anymore, though.
He's changed it.
The Sam Driver, no?
What? I didn't know this.
On the Twitter.
Whoa,
the Sam Driver.
What have you done?
Look at you, Sam. What are you doing, eh? Kevin Owens, though, all right.
Okay.
Would you say any higher?
No, because I think if he had a couple more months of the year to work with in this feud, he'd be in lovely territory. But for the minute, it's too little too late for me.
But of course, we are speaking about a man whose contract reportedly is up just after day one-ish.
Absolutely.
So what could happen next? Yeah, who knows? Do you know?
I'm really, really thinking his mates are all in AEW, apart from Sami Zayn, who's his best friend. But most of his mates are in AEW. You'll probably go there.
Probably.
Not sure. Next up, we have Dana Brooke. She began the year teaming with Mandy Rose. They were models and that.
They were blonde and they were muscular and they were come out and go.
Yeah,
we're blonde and muscular.
Yes.
And then fall down on the WrestleMania ramp.
That wasn't Dana, though.
Mandy.
That was Mandy, yeah. And actually, Dana, I've put here, though I can't remember it, actually got a singles win over Shayna Baszler.
When?
Before WrestleMania, apparently. She also took part in the tag team scramble at WrestleMania when Mandy Rose followed her on the ramp. She continued to team with Mandy after Mania and got into that feud with Tamina and Natalya where they were training in the ring and Mandy and Dana were doing...
We're taking pictures and you're distracting us by working.
I couldn't work out who to cheer for, but I didn't have to worry for too long because that feud was cut short because Mandy was moved to NXT.
Yeah.
Now Dana is a singles wrestler on Raw and at the time of recording is the 24/7 champion.
And seemingly can't be beat the men just sort of go, oh, what are we going to do here?
Scared to attack her even though women have won the belt before and like been rolled up.
That being said, though, Tamina is hot on the trails.
She's chasing her, yeah. It's a strong sign for Tamina's
future.
At the minute, yeah.
Dana Brooke has had a very Dana Brooke year.
She's had
a Dana Brooke. There's another verb for you.
Bearable?
Yeah, I'd guess so.
I think bearable. Yeah, go on.
It's dangerously close to the bin.
Oh, she's bearable. It's fine. The Miz, he's awesome. He came to play, and he's an A-lister. I've just mentioned all those things. he cashed in the Money in the Bank contract on Drew McIntyre, as we've mentioned, to become WWE champion for, I think, just the second time, but with a length, with a decade gap in between the two reigns. The same amount of reigns, I believe, as Randy Savage.
What?
I love busting out that stat. I think I did it when Sheamus won his second Oh, that's shocking.
That was a sneeze and a cough at the same time. Ooh. Into the sleeve, everybody.
Yeah.
That's the most hygienic place to do it.
Fair enough. But he lost it to Bobby Lashley a week later on. But I enjoyed that episode of Raw. I enjoyed the Miz trying to get out of it and cowering, and there was the countdown to the match, and then Miz really put Bobby over in the match.
He did, yeah.
He then feuded with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest alongside John Morrison. Hey, 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 ho, ho. Lost to them at WrestleMania, and also lost to Priest in the zombie lumberjack match. Then he got injured.
He got eaten, remember?
And he got eaten by the zombies, and then was still alive. And then reportedly got injured in that match, but continued to accompany Morrison in a wheelchair, did some classic Kurt Angle-style comedy heel stuff. Did it very well, because it's The Miz and he can. But then he attacked Morrison out of nowhere, ending their partnership shortly before Morrison's release. Then he took time off to be on Dancing with the Stars. Then he returned with Maryse and is now feuding with Edge.
A good promo to boot with Edge. It's been one of the top two tier, surely. Another eventful year for The Miz.
I don't think it's top. I think it's lovely, because he was in the zombie match.
We'll go top of lovely. But he also won the title this year.
He did win
the title. It was for a short time. It was a means to an end, I guess.
Well, it wasn't.
Not involving him.
It wasn't. I've said this before. I don't understand it. Because why did they need... It doesn't matter. But why did they need him to have the belt to get it onto Bobby? If Bobby was just going to win at WrestleMania, just have Bobby beat Drew at WrestleMania, Miz didn't need to... I'm glad Miz got another reign. He deserves it.
There was a nice bit of storyline there with the sort of negotiation backstage with MVP on whatever pay-per-view that was on at the start of the year.
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was nice as well, so...
Yeah. Next up, the most beautiful woman in all of WWE, Carmella, who failed to take the SmackDown Women's title from Sasha Banks at the Royal Rumble, but then teamed with... Do you remember who she teamed with at WrestleMania in that scramble?
Oh, it was someone random, wasn't it?
It was Billie Kay. Billie Kay was asking people to be her partner.
Yes. Yeah. Which that was good stuff from
Billie
Kay.
Which led me to believe that they were going to win. But they didn't win that match, and then they didn't last long as a team either. Then Carmella had that endless feud with Liv Morgan and had a few failed title shots against Bianca Belair as well, and began then proclaiming herself to be the most beautiful woman in WWE, and was Sasha Banks' replacement against Bianca Belair at SummerSlam, but was then replaced herself by the returning Becky
Heel
Lynch.
Heat!
Yeah, it worked. It was effective. Debatable whether the actual Becky involvement, but the Carmella's bit went off without
a hitch. Yeah, it was fine, yeah.
Then she was drafted to Raw and is now co-tag team champions with Queen Zelina. So,
did you mention Reggie this year? Was that this year?
Oh, yeah, Reggie was this year. Yeah, she at the start of the year, she had Reggie involved and
the sommelier.
And then turned on him, kicked him out, fired him.
Because he fancied Sasha Banks, I think.
And then he bounced from her. Well, we'll talk about that in Reggie's bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, she did the stuff with Reggie at the start as well. Yeah.
She certainly fulfills her role and she does it well.
Yes.
But I don't know how far that puts her up a tier list.
It wasn't as good a year as, for example, her
2017.
One of them. When she was in Money in the Bank and was good on ladders and everyone went, hang on, Carmella's good on ladders.
Yeah.
Put her in more ladder matches.
Yeah.
Unless she didn't want him.
Every week.
I'd hate to be in a ladder match. where does she belong? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
She certainly does. I think she's one of those members of the women's roster who gets it.
She always gives it.
And you always hear people, well, not always hear it, but I've certainly heard Big E and the New Day on their podcast say how she's just such fun to work with and so creative and have good ideas and stuff like that. So
fair play to
go her. Go on, the Carmella.
Go on. Next up, we have Randy Orton, who entered the Royal Rumble at number two, but sat out much of the match before returning at the end to be last eliminated by number one entrant, Edge. He then faced Edge the following night, but lost after interference from...
It was Alexa Bliss, wasn't it, Jack?
It was Alexa Bliss, who he then faced at Fastlane and lost after interference
from... And he got shagged!
He got
pinned in a very suggestive manner.
She was using magic against him. It really wasn't a fair fight. The Fiend got involved, returning all crispy and burned, building to a feud at WrestleMania, or a match at WrestleMania, excuse me, which Orton won. That made no sense.
One RKO there was, Jack.
One RKO trick,
he set the man on fire, remember, twice. Once he locked him in a box. The second time he set the man himself on fire and killed him for several months.
Yes. And then went on to slightly more normal storylines, losing a number one contenders match to Drew McIntyre. Then we began the slow face turn, reluctantly teaming with Riddle. And eventually they teamed up properly. RK-Bro winning the titles from AJ Styles and Omos at SummerSlam and beating the Usos at Survivor Series quite recently.
Now, so. I tell you what. what? The early parts of the year, my brain farted there. The early parts of the year did nothing for me when it came to Randy Orton.
Yeah.
The Fiend stuff left a sour taste in the mouth. Obviously, we've seen a lot in the dirty sheets. Mm. Do we trust them? Do we not trust them? Mm. WWE apparently saying Bray was hard to work with, so Randy getting a win like that, just I guess it had to happen from their point of view, if we're trying to find a reason for that happening. That was a load of bollocks.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that at all. But then the latter half was an improvement, definitely.
Definitely improvement. It's made Riddle a lot more likeable from the brain dead, or worse than brain dead, thing we saw in 2020. It's quite funny and endearing, their relationship together on screen, sort of Riddle breaking down Randy, getting to do stuff he wouldn't do, put on a wig and put on a funny jacket. So I guess it's all right.
I'd say all right as well.
We'll put everything into account there. We'll put him in the middle of all right.
Next up is Riddle, his tag team partner, but he had some single stuff earlier on in the year as well, beating the Hurt Business in a gauntlet match, Cedric Shelton and MVP, to win a US title shot, but then only won by DQ against Big Bobby Lashley. But he eventually did win the title in a triple threat match against Lashley and John Morrison at Elimination Chamber. Then he lost the title to Sheamus in that really good match at WrestleMania before forming RK-Bro. And the rest is history. Also a note here, appeared back on NXT as MSK's mystery shaman.
Weed.
Yeah.
I would say there's one crucial difference between Randy Orton and Riddle here in 2021. When they've been together, I should say.
Okay.
Well, I guess as a whole, and that is that Riddle has had way more good matches on Raw than Randy Orton has.
He's had some very good matches, yeah.
Yeah, he's been the workhorse of Monday Night Raw in many respects, so I would put him in a tier above Randy Orton just on that fact.
I think that's absolutely fair, yeah. And he also hasn't had half of his year dominated by spooky nonsense.
Spooky bollocks.
Yes.
Although it could be 2022 where he takes all the weed and sees things that aren't even real.
Next up, we have someone who had a very eventful year, Bianca Belair. She started off winning the Royal Rumble from number 3, a dominant performance, then had a bit of a weird feud with Sasha Banks, it has to be said, but it was all right in the end because they had that historic, wonderful match at WrestleMania Night 1 in the main event, and she won it to become SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yeah. History making, fantastic match as well, fantastic moments, fantastic everything. It's a shame, as you say before, yes, the whip was heard around the world. It was all centering around Reggie and how the entire women's division, it seemed, was infatuated with Reggie and what he was doing on SmackDown and Raw and everywhere else, because he was everywhere all of the time.
Yeah.
And then from there, though, things went a little bit.
Then she defended the title against Bayley a couple of times, including in a Hell in a Cell match, which was really good. She was supposed to face Sasha Banks at SummerSlam, but then Sasha was pulled from the match. Then she was meant to face Carmella, but it was a bait and switch. She faced Becky Lynch and lost to her in seconds. She failed to win the title back in a triple threat match at Crown Jewel, was drafted to Raw, and is back on the upswing, I'd say, becoming sole survivor of the traditional Survivor Series match against 4-on-1 odds.
They got big helping hand, though.
3-on-1 odds.
Yeah.
Sasha's team eliminated her.
Yeah, they
themselves.
Did.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Yeah. Anyway, I think, it's been a bit of a year of two halves, hasn't it? Just that the spring was sort of down, then WrestleMania was up, then we came back down a bit again, then going back up again, then SummerSlam happened, we're back down again, and now we're on the rise again, very slowly indeed. But she's proven, beyond any shadow of any doubt, she's in the top echelons of the roster, both in terms of wrestling prowess and charisma. She's got everything.
And I think the highs outweigh the lows quite substantially as well, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm saying best, me.
I'll go best as well. I was thinking it. Who's next?
Reggie. Speak of the devil.
Yeah. Started the year as Carmella's sommelier, or wine pourer, wine presenter.
Would you like a glass of white with the fish, or a glass of red with the steak?
Yeah, but he also did flips. He lost to Sasha Banks in an intergender match, was later fired by Carmella and was aligned with Sasha for a while. Then she got rid of him. Then he was with Nia. Then he was kind of adopted, taken in by Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Then they got rid of him as well. Then he revealed that he wasn't even French and he just used it to get in to WWE and achieved what all WWE superstars dream of, the 24/7 championship.
Yay.
Winning it from Akira Tozawa and spending ages evading people with parkour.
Now, that part of it's been good, the fact that they've taken the 24/7 division in certain segments involving Reggie. I'm thinking the one where the van gets commandeered
and the
pedestrian in the street legitimately thought there was a heist going on and he got angry, but it wasn't. It was just the wrestling. That's been good in terms of Reggie's involvement in the 24/7 division, getting things back outside and making the 24/7 division what it was intended to be. But apart from that, it's been bloody crap, hasn't it, for Reggie?
He's been some wrestlers that you might argue we shouldn't have beaten, including Shayna Baszler, R-Truth and Akira Tozawa. But he's unique.
That's the thing.
He's a unique boy.
I've never seen a man move like Reggie. I would go as far as to say that no superstar in the past could move like Reggie.
No, he's a different. He's got that Cirque du Soleil background.
Yeah.
He moves differently from wrestlers.
Ricochet can touch him.
No, but not in a bad way, though. I wouldn't say, like, you know, when someone comes from a different background and they move different from wrestlers. He does, but not in a bad way.
It's just impressive, isn't it?
Like water.
The impressive pelvis Reggie.
Yes. Where does he go, though? Because it's not been the best.
Terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, he doesn't deserve the bin.
No, he's too good for the bin. But then again, he's too good for the way he's been booked by and large here in 2021.
He is. I'm at least still hopeful that he might be put to better use for a bit.
They could make him a world champion if they wanted to.
Yeah, potentially.
They could.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, why not? Why not?
Everyone goes wow when he does the moves. It's just a shame he does the moves in a division no one cares about.
Yes, from the present king of the 24/7 division to the past king of the 24/7 division, R-Truth, who I've written here, really hasn't done much this year. Usually working with old rival Akira Tozawa and sometimes Drake Maverick to try and take the 24/7 title from Reggie and failing consistently. He teamed also, and I don't remember this, he teamed with Jackson Ryker to beat Elias and Cedric Alexander.
There's a good reason you don't remember that.
Probably not very good.
Yeah.
He took part also in the Survivor Series Battle Royal, and his most recent match saw him lose to Reggie on main event. I can't lie, I was having to scrape the barrel a little bit when it came to the R-Truth notes.
He hides in bins a lot in 2021, doesn't he?
He does,
trying to spring a surprise on whoever's got the 24/7 title.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it's one of the bottom two tiers. I guess he's entering the winter of his professional wrestling career.
He is. He's an older man, that you could tell.
Yeah, we keep forgetting.
But they're not using him as well as he could be used. Is it bin worthy, do you think?
I'd say bin, because as you say, he's done nout.
He really has.
And he was the one point, the focal point of that division, and now he's just not even that.
Yeah.
And he's not doing anything anywhere else in the card, so we've got to put him in the bin.
We do.
It's a mercy killing. A mercy binning, sorry. We haven't killed him.
Next up, we have Becky Lynch. She made a surprise return that everybody kind of knew about, but didn't. Attacking Carmella and replacing her in the SmackDown Women's title match at SummerSlam with Bianca Belair, which she won in a very short fashion after a cheap shot, turning heel in the process. She retained the title in a triple threat match at Crown Jewel. She was drafted over to Raw, and then she had that heated feud with Charlotte Flair after a tense title exchange, which made her, by default, Raw Women's Champion. Her and Charlotte had their big clash in Survivor Series, and Becky won by grabbing the ropes and then had that emotional promo afterwards, which wasn't on the main show. I think that was a web exclusive or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Then, most recently, she's feuded with Liv Morgan and beat her in a title match on Raw, again grabbing the ropes in very similar fashion. She's not been around for all of the year, but it's been eventful.
It's been a headline-making year. Obviously, she's only been around for half the year, but obviously she's made lots of headlines. Why I keep saying obviously, I've got no idea, but obviously that's what happened. We didn't know she was heel at the time of SummerSlam, did we? Properly, so that left a bitter, bitter taste in the mouth. Obviously, a lot of professional wrestling fans around the world could not accept Becky Lynch as a heel and didn't want to accept Becky Lynch as a heel, which doubled down on the nonsense that was Becky's role at SummerSlam 2020. Since then... 21. We're in 2021, aren't we? Bloody hell. Since then, the stuff has been fantastic from Becky Lynch. Big time Bex. The thing in the sky, that can get in the bin.
The glasses thing.
Yeah, that can get in the bin. It's terrifying. Why is that there? I've got no idea. But I guess a heel would like that. That's besides the point. The outfit going off Rollins, that's fantastic stuff. The promos have been fantastic. The headline making, whether it be real or not real, they did it. They made headlines in the build up to Survivor Series herself and Charlotte Flair. But the build from to Survivor Series and then to Crown Jewel was a mess, because in the build up to Survivor Series, when we're plugging that one, she was a babyface. But the build to Crown Jewel, when we're plugging that one, she was a heel. It was a bit of a mess.
It was muddled.
Yes.
It was muddled.
But both matches I thought were good.
Yeah.
And then coming out of that, the stuff with Liv Morgan has also been good. So while it has been half the year, it's been a good half year.
I think it's been a year of massive extremes for Becky. But in my opinion, they cancel each other out and land somewhere in the middle for me.
Trenton, upper echelons of all right to lovely.
Then.
I reckon you will go lovely.
No, I don't think
we'll
we can. I don't think we can, you know.
I'll go lovely.
Go on then, if you want.
I'll go lovely. Oh. Yay!
Next up, it is her husband, Seth Rollins, who came third in the Royal Rumble and started a feud on SmackDown with Cesaro, beating Nakamura at Fastlane, and then progressing in the feud with Cesaro at WrestleMania, where he lost, which was the right call, but then it all... They dragged it on for too long and
ruined it. And, of course, Cesaro's recovered from that since.
Yeah, absolutely. He attacked Cesaro after his match with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania Backlash to resume the feud and then beat him several more times afterwards. He then had a long feud as well, but a better one, with Edge after costing him his match against Roman Reigns at Money in the Bank, then losing to him at SummerSlam, beating him on SmackDown to level the series, but then losing the blow-off inside Hell in a Cell at Crown Jewel. Great feud.
Yes.
Really good stuff.
Really good.
Then he was drafted to Raw and, of course, was recently the sole survivor in the 5-on-5 tag team match and is currently feuding with Big E and Kevin Owens and has a title shot in place for day one.
First and foremost, heel Seth Rollins is the way it should be.
Yeah.
Babyface Seth Rollins can't work anymore. Don't want to see it. Heel Seth Rollins, fantastic.
Yeah.
So we start off there at the Rumble. Then we go up, I would suggest, to WrestleMania with Cesaro, and Rollins lost that match. And you're thinking, wow, they're actually going to do it with Cesaro. But no, we have several more rematches where Rollins has to win, of course, and Cesaro doesn't recover from that. Then we get the Edge stuff in the summer, and I loved it, me.
Yeah.
I loved the fact that Edge was like, Rollins, you're just like me. Your career is just the same as mine. And Rollins is like, no, I'm not. But hey ho, you're Edge, you're quite good, you. So I'll try and steal from you and make me as good as you are.
Mm.
So I like that logical stuff.
That was good as well.
And then that continued all the way through until the autumn. Good stuff there. And then the stuff now with the logical nature of himself and Big E and
Kev
on Monday Night Raw, apart from the bit where Rollins got himself DQ'd, that brought it down a little bit for me. But I guess he saw the red mist and couldn't stop himself from getting DQ'd and therefore cheating himself out of a singles match at day one. This has been a very good year for Seth Rollins.
I honestly think it has been one of his best years. Maybe I'd put it second behind his 2015.
Oh,
which was
2015, yeah.
Superlative. But apart from that, he's back on form.
We're flying up to the top there.
Big theme tune as well.
Whoa. Yeah. Top tier theme tune, as we saw.
Everyone loves in the office. I may have tried to take away from that a little bit, I think, in that video. But, you know, everyone likes it.
Yeah.
I miss Burn It Down, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Next up, equally as influential a figure in the current landscape, it's T-Bar. You've put him in the bin straight away there.
Prove me wrong.
He began 2021 as a member of Retribution, but then attacked his leader, Mustafa Ali, alongside Mace at Fastlane, disbanding the group. He then continued to team with Mace for a while until Mace was drafted to SmackDown and T-Bar was kept on Raw. He then had a short US title feud with Damian Priest, losing to him in a no-DQ match, which was brilliant, out of nowhere.
Very Dijakovic.
He was allowed to wrestle well, like he can.
And he grew his hair out a bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And it was good. But does it save him from the bin?
It's one match of the year, isn't it? Who else are we keeping out the bin for one match of the year?
Okay, well,
Tamina, maybe?
Put him top of bin, maybe?
We'll put him top of the bin.
I don't know if
he's the least bin of all the bin people. But
yes.
It just makes you wonder why they don't let him be something that's more like Dominik Dijakovic than it is T-Bar.
I don't know. We're closing the year on a very confused gimmick in WWE, but that's not a knock on the performer herself, who's great. But, I mean, it's Alexa Bliss, right? You know what I'm getting at here. She beat Randy Orton at Fastlane, as we've mentioned, with magic and with the help of The Fiend. But then she betrayed The Fiend at WrestleMania and all the black stuff came down. And then she took his powers.
Yeah.
After he lost to Orton and The Fiend, you know, disappeared.
Have we had it confirmed that she just had his gimmick given to her because of the apparent difficult workings backstage and all that stuff we've heard in the Dirty Sheets?
I don't know that for certain. I don't know whether that came first. Maybe that was one of the things he kicked off about.
Yeah.
Or maybe he kicked off and then they did that.
Because we didn't see Bray after WrestleMania, did we?
Maybe in a video package or two. But I don't think we saw him in person. I can't quite remember, but it was the end for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
She then had feuds with Shayna Baszler, who she terrified. You don't want to see Shayna in fear, do you? What was this? Oh, the slap.
The mind warping power.
She hypnotized Reggie into slapping Nia, I believe. She also feuded with Eva Marie. She was a face around this point.
Yeah.
Everyone was cheering her. She stood on the top rope for ages that time, or the middle rope during the entrance to some multi-person match.
I can't remember.
It's the end of a long video. She also took on the Raw Women's Champion Charlotte Flair at Extreme Rules. She'd already long introduced Lily by this point and the playground and everything. The gimmick was in full swing. But then Charlotte ripped Lily apart. And Charlie was there as well, the other part.
Oh yeah, Charlie.
Charlotte beat her, ripped Lily apart. Alexa broke down, foamed at the mouth, sort of, and we've never really seen her.
We haven't seen her since. Yeah, it's not for the want of trying. Obviously, we always say, well, I've always said, in this year of all years, this year, this 2021, it's not the fact that Alexa Bliss's performances have been bad. It's the fact that the stuff she's been given has been bad. I think she's been very convincing in that spooky role, and what they've asked her to do, it's been quite convincing. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
It does.
But it's just the fact that what she's been given has been so naff. I haven't enjoyed the presence of Alexa Bliss at all here in 2021.
The only positive I can think is if they gave it to somebody less charismatic, it would be even worse.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's good. I was thinking in my mind just about Bearable, But it's not bearable, because I hated it when it was going on.
Yeah, it was all the segments she was involved in, just about each and every one. If you showed them to one of your non-wrestling-liking friends, you'd be laughed at, wouldn't you? And that's not a position you want to find yourself
in. It's the mark of a bad segment.
Do we go bin?
Yeah, I think it's not her fault.
It's what she was given.
But I think we go bin.
It wasn't a good year for her, was it?
Poor Alexa.
In kayfabe.
And that's how
she was given.
That's how we close it off.
That's how we close it off.
Thank you very much, Gary, for this.
Cheers, Gary.
Before we leave you, we're going to have to sort out your best of the best.
And let's do this quick in case we lose it again, because we've already shot this one.
We've done.
I couldn't help
but
peel back the camera, but you know, we've got to the very end and the camera's gone off, and we're doing the last bit again.
Right, Ross, come on then. Was Big E better or worse than Bobby Lashley this year?
I would say Bobby was better, because the SmackDown portion holds down Big E, I would say, with Apollo Crews. Having the same match each and every week.
Bobby's been very good.
Yeah.
Would you say that who's that?
Edge.
Edge. Would you say that Edge is better?
Just because
this year, or worse than Bobby?
He hasn't been around for as long. I would say no.
Fair enough. What about Bianca Belair?
I would say Bianca's lows have been lower than Bobby's lows. Therefore, that keeps Bianca below Bobby in the tier list.
And Seth Rollins, better or worse than Bobby?
I would say Seth has been up.
In second
there.
There you have it. Bobby Lashley has had the best year in Raw in 2021.
Would you agree?
Yeah, probably.
What
probably
a guy.
I'm going to rush this outro because we're scared that the camera's going to die again. Thanks very much for watching. Leave your thoughts in the comment section down below. I've been Jack, this has been Ross, but we've both been Gary YouTube as well. Look out for more exciting content, and I hope you're having a wonderful festive season. Thanks very much for watching, and we'll see you very soon.
Watch the AEW one. It's coming soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.